that context doesn't apply, you don't have to do something like that. This is maybe not coming.
It is.
Yeah. It's coming.
The Chairperson, I think the crux issue from this morning's discussion is that when we pass the revised fiscal framework as a committee, or we recommend for the House to adopt it, there's no requirement that the committee needs to ensure that those principles of fiscal discipline in section 8.5 are being complied with.
You convene that to the committee. You convene that to the committee. We're not going to allow him to bring the stuff back again. Oh, here he is. All right, let's wait for him. Right. So, Mr. Jacob, go ahead.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, you said various things, and we looked carefully at the bill, at the Act, and I heard Mr. Jacob bring three for himself.
Yeah, and the point I was making, Chairperson, is, again, subsection 5 or section 8 says that when you amend the fiscal framework, the committee needs to ensure that there are certain principles of fiscal discipline that you must comply with. What was raised this morning is paragraph B, ensure that the debt levels and debt interest costs are reasonable. I think that's a very broad statement, but it places an obligation on Parliament. When Parliament decides to maybe do a tinker or even radically amend the fiscal framework, that provision is there for Parliament then to ensure that we're not acting out of sync, out of control, that we don't put the country into a fiscal position which we cannot return from. But when we do not amend the fiscal framework, the Act itself doesn't require that. I say that's just the plain construction, the meaning of Section 8.5 and what this committee can do. I mean, certainly the committee can make a recommendation to say we don't like what the fiscal framework is saying. But that kind of recommendation, I would suggest, is better in a MPBPS report, because that deals with the three forward years. And if I may even say that why it would make sense to have the two in one report. But I mean, that's a committee decision how it wants to report, whether in one report or two reports. My view is legally you can do it in two reports, provided you comply with all the provisions. I mean, when we're dealing with the MPBPS, we look at the MPBPS, we report on the MPBPS, and then we send it to the Minister of Finance to make comments. Let's look at the finance area of the MTBPS, the fiscal framework in the forward years. When the minister comes back with his comments, Parliament is not happy with that. Then that kicks in the trigger to amend the fiscal framework at the budget next year. When we're dealing with the revised fiscal framework, first of all, Parliament must adopt it. To adopt it, the committee must recommend it. If the committee recommends certain amendments, it must comply with Section 8.5. Debt levels must be reasonable. And if we make an amendment, we must give the Minister of Finance an opportunity to respond, and that response must also be in the report to the House. Now, if we have a consolidated report, one must just ensure that all these things are in the report. We can't try and smuggle our way around these requirements, but the formalistic thing of having one or two reports, that's for me in law neither here or there, as long as we comply with the substantial issues. And I'll just repeat what I said, but if we deal in separately with the revised fiscal framework, it's only when we amend it that we need to ensure that we are complying with fiscal principles. Otherwise, it's not there. And that is a policy decision. If we want to amend the Moneyball Act to change that around, like the Kenyan example I said this morning, then one does it. But that's a big policy issue.
Kelly, you want to say something?
Not much, Chairperson. It's just that even if you look at the MCPDF, when they do the analysis of the revised fiscal framework and the proposed fiscal framework, it's very much interlinked, it overlaps. So it's very difficult to deal with it piecemeal in a way. But I think when the committee revises the Money Growth Act, it needs to take those things into consideration.
Sierra, you are right. I again refer to page 5, table 1.2. The consolidated government fiscal framework captures everything in that table. Where we come from, where we are now, and where we're going. And in that report referred to by Advocate Jenkins, that report can have two sections. One on the revised fiscal framework, and then another section on the after years.
Okay, we can look at all of those things when we amend the Money Bills Act. Frank, can we, as a majority, ask you to start looking at these issues and then we amend the Act as appropriate? But having said that, we voted. Yeah, so we'll have to come back. Right? Yeah. Then we have got the report. Can you distribute the report to everybody? We'll have to come back and vote here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a three-line word.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, but you can vote on the report. But let both of us vote together. Maybe there are other amendments. You can process the report, but you can't vote on it. In case the amendments you mentioned that we need to be aware of. Okay. So, Michele can take you from the report. Can I have a copy?
We put in all the machines.
Rules specifically for the planning committee of finance. I think the issue is being with respect. There's nothing that says that when a matter is referred to, you must report separately on it. When a matter is referred for consideration and report, it must be reported. Anything that requires a decision from the House must be reported on. And this is the is required decision from the House, so it must report on it. But it doesn't indicate there that it must be one or two reports. So for me, it's a circle argument. One can go round and round and say, better one report, better two reports. But I would like to say, actually, it's not a legal issue, it's a procedural issue. If you look at one report, a consolidated report, and you keep it separate, the fact that you're looking for it, I don't see anything legal, illegal about it. I don't see, and the authors haven't rejected that approach, as I indicated this morning. We've done a consolidated report, the House accepted it like that. We were very well aware of how it was referred. It was referred in the same way it was referred this year. To say the NTBPS referred to the two committees, and in terms of these sections you look at it, and then revise the program was referred and you also look at that. So for me,
there must be, on the real case, the way to revise the program.
Yeah. Well, that is...
That's why
the report would
be inconsistent with what is on the
post. Yeah, well, that is so. And one speaks to the program in the books, I suppose, and the NA table and the ECP table about it, because what are they doing happening tomorrow? I mean, they have this thing called the bottleness, which the speaker or the chairperson could do with all the proceedings in the House. Surely they must be accurate. I mean, there's going to be the debate on the ECP as well. Again, I mean, I don't want to manage this from a legal perspective. I rather want to say, if there's political appetite, the procedural appetite for having two reports, then do it. Then one can deal with the smaller annual report, the revised weekly financial report, and if the work is done on the NCGPS, two areas, appropriation areas, and finance areas, two of those reports, especially the debate on that, the more you think about it and work with these areas, the fiscal framework is not a, you can't cut it off and start again. It's a process. It's changed over the years as its financial issues change, as investment change, so. And it's a politics influence, you know that. You actually want to have an approach to deal with the fiscal framework to, from all of the sides, oversight, to monitor it regularly, to keep your finger on that pulse. So, and that's what I just said now. Now, I feel almost that, especially with that part of the NTP, is the forward-looking preview of the fiscal framework. The instance I'll be giving is the revised one. Within a year, we have power to change that revised fiscal framework. To say, well, we need to bring the horses back in, we need to tighten it up because we don't like what we see in the forward-looking. So this is exactly what I said, it's an overlap, a huge overlap. You can't say, well, we're not going to worry about the key, we're going to worry about a separate. So one must think it through that what would be best from Parliament's oversight perspective to deal with these things. One can even go so far as to say, we need to revise the fiscal framework. And one can just see the fiscal framework and see how it changes. And we do it on an annual basis. But we certainly look at the projections going forward and how the projections are changing. And whether those assumptions that underpin the projections, whether they are actually valid. Because it's strange, we've had those budget offers from various countries that can input on where the assumptions can be the larger assumptions. So now I'm going to the area which is I'm not in favor. I don't know.
All right, can we then move on? We can settle these issues that are outstanding outside the meeting, but we will stick with the law since people are insisting on it and have a necessary sum of the aspects of what we are doing now. And so I'll just go through the changes that are made to the court. We've taken out as many sections as we can and put elsewhere. But the hearings will have to be the same, unfortunately, because I don't think the people in the hearing can expect me to finance the same information. So to take you to the observations and recommendations, we make the point firstly that inevitably issues related to the revised fiscal framework overlap with issues related to the proposed fiscal framework. So several outstanding issues were dealt with that before. Then we note that $1.409 trillion to $1.413 trillion, leading to an increase of $3.8 billion in the budget. Much of this increase was directed at bailing out SOEs and reinforces the committee's concern that there needs to be a stringent condition set for bailout and that these should as far as possible be tabled in Parliament. I think the minister will be cool about that because he also is strong. Not that that's the difference I see here. 6.3 is much the same. 6.4, we've added that strengthened sound revenue collection capacity at the end. 6.5 is much the same. 6.6, we've added a new point there based on the table. You will see, obviously, under section, thanks to Charles, we introduced that section done by Charles, basically, and done by the secretary, the staff that is Charles' point that they put the consolidated government fiscal framework in. And so we drew attention to that in 6.6, and we point out that expenditure growth to 33.5% in the fiscal year, leaving a budget of 4.3 up from 3.3% in the previous year. And of course, we express our serious concern.
What's the 3.1?
Well, this is what we got from, sorry? 3.1. Okay, 3.1. We can fix those little things up because there's a point being made
We did it in a great rush, and we have allowed for an hour or so for the team to just look at those things. 3.1, right? So we still see these concerns for the obvious reasons. And remember that the minister now in National Treasury says we're going to have 0.7% if all goes well, and against 1.3. Then on the debt to GDP ratio, we draw attention to what we did in the morning, that this is not inevitable, and we must do our oversight work there for the minister doing his part. And then on cost containment measures, we added something. Yeah, at the same point as in the morning. Nothing has changed. What we're saying there, remember, we asked the minister, is it inevitable that we will reach 60%? He said no. There are many things we can do to be more decisive, and I think he referred especially to structural reforms. So he did indicate, or he didn't, we know what he means. That he alone is not responsible for the structural reforms. If it's mining, it's the Minister of Mining and Minerals and so on. It's nothing particularly devastatingly new. 6.8 is the same as this morning. 6.9 is the same as this morning. 6.10 the same. Oh yes, in 6.8, what he added, following the intervention of an MP, was we need costs to be reduced without compromising service delivery to the poor. And then we added executives across all three spheres of government could certainly reduce their costs, and this is being attended to by the Appropriations Committee. They're looking into that. So basically we're saying, yes, you can reduce costs. There are many, many opportunities for it. The Appropriations Committee will deal with that, but let's not compromise service delivery. The 6.9 is the same, 6.10 is the same, 6.11 is the same, 6.12 is the same. Yeah, 6.11. Yeah.
Chair, when we're dealing with the contingency reserve, I think to the extent that there could be an objection to the revised fiscal framework, it would be based on the contingency reserve, which, as you know, has been collapsed to zero. In order to sort of hold the fiscal line. I think that that is a significant risk given the kind of known knowns, particularly in respect of drafts, which are likely to materialize before the main budget. I have grave reservations about collapsing the contingency reserve to zero in this financial year.
Okay, anybody want to say anything about that? Anybody agree with that?
Chair, can David give us more meat in relation to what he wants to suggest so that you can discuss that part and question?
Anybody else want to speak? Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chairman, it's interesting that I had a call from a journalist in Durban whilst between meetings asking me about where National Treasury will get money from to deal with the storm damage in Durban, because apparently that has now been declared a disaster in KZN. And they estimate it's going to need 2 billion rand in disaster funding. And so that's the kind of thing I think that one's got to be careful of. I mean, if that, it's a media, and I don't know how high regard that you hold the media in, so I'm sure it's the figure of 2 billion is probably quite accurate. But that's just one storm in Durban.
Over to you.
Chair, there's a difference when a province declares a disaster area and when national declares a disaster area. If a province declares itself a disaster, it means it will take financial responsibility of that. That's why the KwaZulu government said it's opening up an account where it's making requests for people to make contributions. So national government has not declared KwaZulu-Natal a disaster area. So that we will discuss as and when it comes before us. For now, it's not there.
Okay.
That's why I wanted this one, so that we can deal with it.
We must look at the principle when we had the Naismith disaster, that fire. How the Western Cape government dealt with that. I can't remember that they approached national government. They got their fingers into that, so it's the same principle.
Can we then say we're not saying anything about it? We're leaving that.
Some of these fall under appropriation. But anyway, yes, Mr. Mahanikin.
No, I mean, I think, obviously there are provincial contingency funds, but, if there is a national disaster and something that is deemed to be of the scale and the nature of it, that it should be declared a national disaster, then we are left with nothing here. So there's nothing much we can do about it, but I just strengthen it to say notes with concern rather than just notes.
Notes with concern, you're not at 6.11.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Is that okay?
No, Chair, it's not okay because we have not yet heard what he wants to propose so that we can consider the proposal. So we have not yet reached that consensus that we agree to quality that manner. Can we get the proposal so then we can apply our money?
What proposal?
Well, Chair, what we could do is we could reject the revised fiscal framework and ask the Minister to consider in the 2 days that he has.
What we could propose is that the Minister reconsider and that he considers possibly a retaining a contingency of R1 billion or so and hold the fiscal line by selling an extra R1 billion worth of telecom shares. Simple as that.
Chair, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Chair, we reject that suggestion that the Minister must not sell telecom shares. We agree with the holding of fiscal line through fiscal consolidation and savings that is going to be declared as the Minister has said. That's why I said you must make recommendations. You will understand why sometimes I do this thing, because I know where David was going. You see, the principle that David is raising, that there must not be zero contingency like this, is correct. The principle is correct. But the principle that he's raising takes out of the window the fact that the Minister has made it very clear and repeatedly so that there will be fiscal consolidation. So once you don't take into that account, then you are saying that the fiscal line is not going to be held, whereas a declaration has been made that the fiscal line will be held. The difference here is that given the sluggish growth, it will not be the same as it was before. That's why he himself as the Minister declared upfront in terms of the reserves that we have. So, Honorable Hanekom was making a compromise suggestion, and I will request that he repeat those words and then we test them with David if it's going to be acceptable. Thanks.
Mr. Derek, you basically said, if I remember, we did a committee notes with serious concern over consent. Is that what you said?
No, I wouldn't have done that, actually, because I don't think that there's any undoing it. But I think we need to say, this is not something that we would welcome at all. So that's why I said those were concerned.
I think that's fine. Does anybody disagree with that? No. So we can just put, let's do it now because the report has to go to the agency. Yes. So on 611, we're going to say the committee notes. Remember, it's going to become now. There's not a clarity from what I can gather, by the way, colleagues. This is what I was discussing in. On, though we sit together, should we, in the report, say the committee or the committee? It's slightly grey. Frank, can you address that issue also when we finalise the vote? So the first thing I want to say is, we will change this one out to the committee, but strictly speaking, that's a matter we can address in the amendments to the Money Bills Act. The second issue is, Derek's proposal is, we now say, the committee's note with concern. Is that right?
national tree reduction. There's nothing wrong with that, because that is what a committee should say under any circumstances. Right, over to you.
I suggest we beef up that point to cover all aspects. Not just to know this concern, but to also recommend that we need to find funds that can be allocated to the contingency reserve. Because it's given, we don't want to have zero contingency. That's where we literally agree with David. Just that David, the way he came forward, he wanted to say something else. So we're not going to predetermine for the department how they do that, because that's not our role, remember? We're not going to tell them that that's how we're going to save money, and this is how much we must save, and this way you should get it. You see, that's not our role. That's why sometimes we need to be careful where we blur the lines, because sometimes that's the problem. So we know this concern, and we recommend that they find a way to keep some reserve. You agree? Mm-hmm. But I also need him to agree with me. Sometimes even if I fight with him, I always keep make peace with him. So I need him to I always tell him that this is a peacemaker, for they shall be called the king of God.
So basically we lean on notes with now the next issue, colleagues, is if we say that the executive needs to find money to beef up the contingency reserve, that doesn't mean anything about the requirements kicking into about a fiscal framework and so on, right? You know, if you remember the point you made earlier. So it's just a bland point. Is that correct? Good. Now the next question is, you also have to, I think, in the amendments to the Act, set out more clearly what belongs to appropriations and what belongs to us, because there's such an overlap. You know? But in any case, so what you want to say at the end is something like this now. Is this what you want to say?
Yeah,
that the executive considers what? Finding, executive pursues or considers beefing up the contingency reserve through appropriate reprioritization, something like that.
Yeah.
But you want to just a bit later?
So, am I correct to understand that what we're doing is we're proposing, in terms of Section 12.8, we're proposing an amendment to the revised fiscal framework.
Yes, that's what I'm worried about.
And that I'm quite happy to go with a more general thing.
You don't know anything.
But
we're
proposing an
amendment
to the fiscal framework.
Is that an amendment to the fiscal framework or not?
Ministers will have 2 days to respond.
So is that what you're going to do now? We're going to amend the fiscal framework?
Chair, amendment to fiscal framework doesn't necessarily speak to the numbers. It's about a policy imperative that we put in place. This recommendation, Advocate Jenkins, becomes an amendment to the fiscal framework, because we are making a prerequisite that they must mobilize resources that will be part of the contingency reserve. In my opinion, it is an amendment to what is expected, because it means it will not stay at zero. If we come back, we will be able to say to them, were you able to apply this principle?
Yeah.
To which extent? But it will only belong to appropriations when we make specific numerical recommendations, which is not our place in this committee.
But if you're making an amendment to the fiscal framework, you have to then send it to the minister and reply in 2 days. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want to do?
Sure.
Do you want to do that? Do you have a mandate for that?
Mm-hmm. Chair, it's not about the mandate. It's what is the principle of Parliament. What does the Money Bills Act say?
Chair? You need to call a study group then, actually, because I discussed it.
No, I'm just saying in support of what the committee and what Comrade Tan is saying. We have picked up, or we have observed as a committee, that there are challenges of contingency funding. And we are aware that in case of disaster, government may be found flexible. we can't have a blind eye on that, and we want government to also rise to the occasion. And like Comrade Tan is saying, we are not putting a figure that will be dealt with by appropriation, but even ourselves as finance, we have to say something about it, because it's our fiduciary duty to make sure that government does not also overlook certain things that have to be taken care of, i.e. your contingency. I mean, there's disaster everywhere. This unforeseen climate change activities and other things, and we can't be found.
The question really is that how can we put it in a way that we can vote on this report and have the debate tomorrow in the House? If we now amend it in a way that requires an amendment of the fiscal framework, am I right? What gets into effect? We have to write to the minister, then he has to reply within 2 days, and then we will have to vote on this next week. And then do we meet the requirements of the law? Because 9 days will have lapsed, is that right? Let's get the procedure right, so that we know what we do. In other words, there's no disagreement on the policy issue, Comrade. Charles, can you help? The only issue is how you word it in a way that doesn't require a revised fiscal amendment. That's what we have to do. It's the first time we're doing this, and it's something we need to consult with the powers that be. It's not a decision taken here, I'm taken aback, but it's fine. Then we must have an adjournment and come back later today. That means we can't vote on this today. We can't vote in the House tomorrow. And how many days, what's the outermost 9 days? Tomorrow is the outermost 9 days.
Yes, as I understand it, Chairperson.
Chairperson, if we don't vote today, it jeopardizes the whole process of the division of revenue and appropriation in both houses. That's the implication. Public hearings has been set, advertisements were put in the papers all over the country. So it's going to have a serious effect. We will have to look at our wording, how we put it in there.
Can you give us a wording that doesn't require a
No, Chair, I understand you fully. Make no mistake, I understand you what you mean, and I wish I could give you the wording, but I want to tell something else. I want you to understand from David, in an event that we do not go for the two-day rule where the minister must respond and then we come back, what is his own understanding of the implication thereof? Then I'll come back again. I want him to respond to that. Just be patient with me. Say, I'm not so clever, you know.
So, I mean, I think Frank Jenkins would give us an opinion through you, Chair, but I mean, my reading of it is that when it comes to the revised fiscal framework, the committee has got 9 days or the joint committees have got 9 days to consider it. In the event of making a simple proposal for the minister to consider an amendment to the fiscal framework, we can't amend the fiscal framework. We can only make a proposal for the minister to consider, then there are an extra 2 days. In which the minister must consider our request and respond. So we wouldn't then fall foul of the Moneyball Act.
Okay,
then
the question
would
be, is there no way, can I just propose strongly, because I know the GA may have a mandate, but I'm a bit troubled.
Can you tell me what the basic
Sorry? I mean, the minister has 2 days in which to respond. I would suspect that the minister would probably turn it around faster than that.
Yeah, well, we don't know that. And I would just appeal, I mean, because otherwise we are going to have to break. I would appeal that we just stick to, and as much as, I mean, that might be a route to go, I think given the implications that spelled out by David, let's just stick to, we express we note with concern and not add the other part, because it will mean that we're going to have to engage within our own party much more substantively.
Mm-hmm.
Chair, I asked David the question, and I'm humbly requesting you to allow me to allow him to respond to me. I'm trying to find out whether David will be dissatisfied if we do not make any suggestions and changes for the to this, and probably what steps do they want to take in this context.
Chair, you allow me to proceed. I need that.
Well, Chair, just first of all, I think the committee should think about this. This is a serious issue, there, particularly when it comes to drought and flood-related damage. There might well be a call on national government, and they would normally have a contingency reserve in place. So if it's a balance between dealing possibly with drought relief and flood damage, and a balance against the concern about the process and a few days delay in the budget, well, the choice is easy, is do what is right. And I think we should go and propose an amendment to the framework. The implications are just simply 48 hours. Those are the only implications as far as I see.
Advocate Jenkins, is it possible that the minister can respond in less than an hour? Is there a rule that says it must be within 2 days? I'm not an English speaker, so it's very hard to understand this difficult language.
Chairperson, through you, the minister must get at least 2 days. So the rule is the minister can rely on the act. The minister can come back and say, you must give me at least 2 days. But Chair, if I may, just a sort of comment on this debate. The issue of the contingency reserve, if the minister must find that money somewhere within the budget, we're not changing the fiscal framework. That recommendation, in fact, should come from an appropriations committee, because it's how we then prioritize the money. But if we want the minister to go and borrow more money to fill up the contingency reserve, that will affect the fiscal framework. Now, that's going to take a while. I mean, I don't know how long it takes to issue bonds and sell bonds, if that is what's going to happen. And that creates another problem, because then the issue kicks in, are we not now making a change that is an unsustainable debt to GDP ratio? So the alternative would be to look at the NTBBS process, seeing that we've now tried to separate these so-called Siamese twins, if I may be facetious, Chair. Excuse me for that. It's getting late. Thank you, Chair.
I get like a...
So the alternative is to put it in there, to say forward-looking. We need to fill up that contingency reserve because we are dealing with national disasters, and there's other disasters that can happen as well. The minister then needs to respond on that report on the NTBBS when he tables the budget next year. And it's at that point we can then look at the contingency reserve, what was done according to the recommendations from the House, and to say at that point, well, now we are going to change the fiscal framework, we're going to request that we reallocate funds to make sure that we have that, or we must then live with extra debt, which is going to be a different problem. So that's just a suggestion.
Okay, yes, ma'am?
Thanks, Chair. You always give me...
Very
much. Fine, Chair. Chair, I think you asked a critical question about whether we want to change the fiscal framework or not, and the practicality of making those amendments and changes. And I think what Honourable... He is honourable. Okay. What Advocate Jenkins is saying is that that process may be extremely involved. Not maybe, it is going to be extremely involved if we want to make, and I want to persuade the committee to say we know the concerns of the contingency reserve. In the appropriation bill, in the next the next appropriation bill, we want to see a reprioritization that gives adequate amount into the contingency reserve. In that way, we're not changing the fiscal framework or making amendments to the fiscal framework, but we are making a recommendation of reprioritization and where the reprioritization must lie. And that's in the appropriation bill, not in the fiscal framework.
And this is what I was proposing, that in effect, what you were saying, that is what I also think, that we actually want to impose them to do it like that.
Can we agree? You didn't put it in a proper bill.
Yeah, but we're also treading into territory that we haven't discussed. Can I raise, unless there's something new, I think the majority of us agree that we should not amend the fiscal framework today because it's the very last day we have. I accept what you're saying, Mr. Maynard, but we think that this is something that can be addressed in the way that I'm saying it. It's something that we will obviously, as we get more support services and so on, be able to do more appropriately next time around. Mr. Maynard, you have something to say?
If I understood Frank correctly, he said that the contingency reserve is not part of the fiscal framework. I wonder if he would reconsider that in light of the definition of fiscal framework in the money bill, where ACFIA section E, the fiscal framework includes an indication of the contingency reserve necessary for an appropriate response to emergencies or other temporary needs and other factors based on similar objective criteria. The fiscal framework does include the contingency reserve.
Okay, even if that's the case, that's fine. But it doesn't alter the fact that I think the majority of us here feel that we should not, at this stage, amend this paragraph in such a way that we have to kick into the provisions for the review and amendment of other amendments of the fiscal framework. That's something we won't do, but at this late stage, you know, it's not practicable and feasible. So we will be amending the money for that colleague. At that time, I was urged colleagues to come and participate with colleagues, so they could take into account all of these things. So are we agreeing that we settled for, maybe you want to say something before I go? Can I just ask you?
Why is it not practical, in your view, yet?
I don't think I will respond beyond what I've already said. I have explained that basically, and I think the ANC study group will have to have a break as well to discuss it as a policy issue. So basically what I'm saying is that we have taken some step forward in some senses, or in many senses backward, by separating out the fiscal framework from the proposed fiscal framework. We have now got it here. We've discussed the matter. There's no disagreement that we are concerned about the contingency reserve, and we think we're covered by Convict Eric. If you want to strengthen it, we welcome to strengthen it, provided it doesn't lead to an amendment of the fiscal framework. Furthermore, I've agreed, if you mandate me to do so, to speak to Pinky Porter right now in the House, or I'm going to 4 o'clock meeting, I have to rush through on this other report evening. I'll speak to her this evening and raise the issues that arose here, as suggested by Tasneem. So those are the issues. Compared to that, to do what you and to some extent some other members seem to be saying would be not practical. That's what I'm saying. Not saying it's not possible in terms of the law. I'm saying it's not practicable in terms of the circumstance. Yeah, in the sense that the law doesn't preclude it completely. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. But in the current situation where now it is 5-4, where you have Friday, if you address this on Friday, Ulysses, this is what I want. I would like you to separate the report on Friday. You could have simply asked for that, we would have done it. It took us 2 hours to do, but we could have saved a lot of time. In view of that too, what I'm saying, colleagues, I would like to stop, but let me just speak for myself. As an individual member of this committee, not as the chair, I'd like to strongly urge members not to go that route at the moment, and can you speak?
Chair, we are very fortunate. As we sit here, Select Committee Finance, we are also the same members of the appropriations in the NCP. That makes things a bit easier. And this morning, when we left your meeting, we went straight to the Standing Committee of Appropriations meeting with the FMC. Some of the matters that featured in the report we already took there this morning. And we're taking it further on Thursday and Friday and the rest of the process until we end off on the 5th of December. So we're not working in silos. We, as you indicated, and we support the fact that we deal with the report as it is.
Yeah. The other thing we could do is ensure that when we deal with the budget in February next year, we also take this into account, right?
It's provided for in 2018.
Yeah. But we should add that
this year.
Well, but we can't go beyond. Okay, do you agree we can't go beyond, you know, sort of signaling our concern without calling for an amendment to the fiscal framework? Are we agreeing on that? Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then in that case, we'll be done with this. The next paragraph is much the same. So is the paragraph after that, 13. We're on 6.12, 6.11, 6.12, 6.13 is the same. 6.14 is again the same, 6.15 is the same, 6.16, 6.17, 6.18, 6.19, and 6.20 are much the same. Okay. Right, in that case, can somebody move for the report? We've got a quorum, 2, 4, 6, yeah, we've got 6. Can somebody move for the report, and can we get a second? Thanks, Pinky.
Sorry, just before, you'll direct the committee.
We're doing all of that now. Yeah, we will do it before 5 o'clock, but that will be handled by the staff and they will send it to the two chairs. I've got to rush to another sort of meeting.
The standing committee members is excused. To the Select Committee on Finance, honourable members, I put the question. I put the report of the Select Committee for Finance, having considered the 27 MTBBS statement, revised fiscal framework, tabled by the Minister of Finance on 25 October 2017, to the committee. Can I get a proposal for adoption? Honourable Motara, proposed adoption. Can I get a seconder? On the Motla Shipping seconds. On the members, thank you for
Please
your
don't go, there's one thing that we didn't do.
The meeting of the Select Committee of Finance is adjourned. Thank you.
No, hang on. The National Assembly side, can we look at the National Assembly side? Alan points out, Derek has seconded, we must note, is anybody objecting to it?
No.
Reservation, right. Is that covered? Is there anything else you want us to do? So we're putting it to the one reservation, the rest of us are voting for. Thank you. Very good work, Alan. Yes? Brilliant.
Okay.